you light up my life. Oh, yeah, you gave me life and hope when I didn't know there was any hope for me. Thank God for each one of you. Good morning to each and every one. My name is Elizabeth Bailey. My anonymity has been shot to hell. But I'm a definite and grateful alcoholic, and I say that from gut level. I want to thank Fred and the committee for thinking of me and inviting me here to share with you my strength, hope, and experience. That's all I've got. And for anybody who've heard me before, I have not gone out and gotten you a new story. Because the one I came here with was a Lulu, as far as I'm concerned. And so, again, I want you to meet my friend Marilyn. Stand up and we'll greet her to Florida. Marilyn? That's my baby. You know, I get so thrilled over these babies when they get sober and want to come to something nice like this. Ooh, it just thrills me. And Marilyn has a little over 3 years of sobriety now, and I just cherish it. I don't know how she feels about it, but I do, you know. I want to thank all the Jerseyites for being here. The Jersey people. Woo! And there's Dolly, who followed me around for 23 years. You'd think she'd get sick of me, but she's sitting here. And her new people, too. I want to thank the Brooklyn people. And where's my Queens people? Kevin? Okay, there's my Queens people all over there. And you're all here, and what a reunion I'm having. I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time. And see, when I leave here, I go home so high it takes me about 3 days to come down. Because it's so beautiful. John, it's beautiful that you and Bev are here to see you again. I seen you in Palm Beach. And just, I got thrilled there also. Now, again, I want to say this. There was a minister preaching one time. And he says, if you drink alcohol, you're doomed to die. And a little old lady down front, she said, amen. He said, now, if you smoke those cigarettes, you're doomed to die. And a little old lady, she said, amen. He said, now, if you chew tobacco, she said, look at that. He's done stopped preaching and gone to meddling. That's the joke. I told a young lady this morning, I said, I always tell this joke to start me off. I don't know about anybody else, but I need that humor. That humor is healing also. Thank God you don't come in AA to drop dead. You come in here to live, and it'll get so good, it'll scare the hell out of you. And when it gets that good, you got to watch it. Because, you know, we don't know how to handle good, some of us. We blow it every time. And if you can keep an attitude plus gratitude, it'll equal your recovery. And I do try to get up every day very grateful. And I have something to be grateful for every day, if it's just sobriety alone. I don't want to forget Malachi. I love you publicly. Okay? And I wish the best for you in all ways of life. I've enjoyed being with you this weekend, and I don't want to ever leave that out. Again, I picked up a drink at the age of 12 years old. A stone alcoholic at 12 years old. I don't know anything about social drinking. I don't know anything about crossing any lines. I've seen a hell of a lot of lines, though. You know. And my mom made my first drink at the age of 12 years old. She made some rice wine in large crockery. And she left myself and a little girl, Marion, to sieve this rice wine through cheesecloth. And let me tell you something. Marion sieved and sipped two lousy drinks, and she went home. But not Liz. Liz sieved and sipped. I sieved and I sipped. And I sieved and I sipped. And I sieved and I sipped. And I put on a drunk at 12 that was a drunk. And my mother lectured to me all night long. And I went out the next day telling all my friends, whoo, what a ball I had, switching my little self, you know. And you know, I don't even remember what the hell happened. And that began to be the pattern of my life. If you didn't drink and get drunk and pass out, you didn't say anything for me. I didn't bother with you. And of course now, I began to sell King Kong booze at the age of 14. I went next door and bought it from the man who made it in the bathtub. And I bought it by the gallon, and I sold it for 40 cents a cream pitcher. Now, someone suggested to me to take mayonnaise, olive oil, butter, and cream, line yourself up. And you know, they even tell you to eat a good meal. Well, let me tell you, that King Kong was so powerful, it stood you straight and it knocked the hell out of you, and it went all through the mayonnaise and the olive oil and the butter and the cream, and I stopped taking that sick stuff. I sold me some booze, and I drank a lot of booze, and I made good money, and they padlocked me into a side room for my protection. Now, I'm laying out the window this night. I live one flight up, and I see this sharp dude just tipping on down the street. Lord, he was the cutest thing. I almost fell out the window. He was so cute. And he had a roll of money, and I said, oh, my God, there's a live one. I was always looking for a live one. You girls know that, don't you? Yeah. I look for the live ones in AA, too. I don't look for no deadheads in AA. I'll tell you that right now. No, that's right, baby. That's right. That's right. I look for those who are going and doing and giving. Those are the people I deal with. Keep the deadheads away from me, please. And so I went downstairs because he had this roll of money, and I went to latch on to him, and I got down there and found out it was a $5 bill around a lot of ones. But I latched on to him anyway, and I went from uptown Manhattan down to the Lower East Side. Now, at the age of 14, I felt that I was a woman. I'm drinking, I'm partying, I'm hanging out. And I run up to my mom, and I ask her to sign for me to marry this man. He's 10 years older than myself. And she says, oh, no, dear. Over my dead body. That man will have you out in the street, and you live a terrible life with that man. And I found out something about myself at the age of 14. Don't you ever, but never, tell me what not to do. Don't do that. Because there's something in my nature that makes me do it, whether I want to do it or not. I'm telling you, and I pay a hell of a lot of prices. I thank God AA suggested everything to me. Because if AA hadn't suggested everything to me, I wouldn't be standing here today, I'll tell you that. So I quit school at 14. I took sleep-in jobs. I was drunk every Thursday and Sunday. And I left New York on the third day of January, 1939. I went to Baltimore, Maryland at 10 o'clock in the morning. I was crying my heart out. And the minister stopped my wedding ceremony. My dear young lady, would you please tell me what you're crying about? I said, well, at last I got him. Well, I'm going to be honest with every one of you in this auditorium this morning. That was the sorriest day of Mr. Bailey's life when he said, I do, to Liz Ulrich. Mr. Bailey never stopped crying from January 3rd, 1939, till he went home with the Lord, August the 12th, 1986. A sorry day for that man, because I came back to New York with this marriage license. I'm 17 years old, and I'm going to tear up New York. Could you all picture what I was at 17? Woo! I'm 73 now, so you can imagine what I was at 17. Woo, baby. Yeah, yeah, I'm coming. Ah, because this marriage license meant no more mama, no more neighbors. Nobody was going to tell me how to live. But let me tell you what Mr. Bailey did. He came back to New York, and he sat down. And he sat down from January 3rd, 1939, till he went home with the Lord, August the 12th, 1986. And I couldn't take that sitting down. So I started to nurse my little drink through the week, look forward to weekend drunks. Now I have to have a drink to wash, to iron, to cook, to talk. I knew I was in trouble when I started taking the bottle out on the stoop. When I'm drinking out in the front of my home, then something is wrong with me. And I watched me change. I began to curse. Every word came out of my mouth was a curse word. I watched another change. I began to fight everything and everybody. I watched another change. I began to leave my house from one day to 3 weeks at a time. Going down, I suffered with guilt and remorse so bad. So bad. Here, I've done it again. Oh, Daddy, please forgive me. I don't want to drink like this. I don't want to act like this. Forgive me. And he'll tell you in 20 minutes to an hour My thinking would go off and I would be off to the races again. And I'm watching me. Many, many people pull me up on the carpet. Why do you drink the way you do? Why do you act the way you do? You have a beautiful home. I didn't call it a home. There was no love there. I had a house. I had every material thing any woman on this earth would want. I never had to work after I married Mr. Bailey. He happened to be a furrier, girls. And when I had period of dryness, he'd make me another fur coat. I had fur coats like beans, you know. And one year, he made me the most gorgeous leopard coat you ever laid your eyes on. And he threw a party for the job. They put three linings in it. Oh, it was gorgeous. But he brought it home and he threw it out on my bed. And I looked down at that coat and I hated it. I gave it away. I said he made it so he could spot me anywhere. And I wished I had it in sobriety many a time. But again, I continued to drink. One of my neighbors pulled me up on the carpet. And she says to me, I'm very much ashamed to live next door to somebody like you. I bought this house to get away from people like you. Would you mind telling me just what's the matter with you? And I says, oh, Jim Lee, I suffer with my nerves. And Jim Lee suggested that I drink rum. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? I left Jim Lee standing in my little bitty kitchen, and I ran around to the Empire Liquor Store, and I bought a bottle of rum. Now, I lived in Jamaica, Long Island. Can one of you drunks please tell me how in the hell did I wake up in Rycliffe, New York with that bottle of rum? I don't know. I really don't know. And a lady took me in off the streets up there. And here's where I became a booze fighter. I'd get up in the morning. I'd put a shot in my coffee. I'd call it Coffee Royal. I'd hide the lousy bottle. I don't care where I hid it. I'd shoved it in between lingerie sometime. And I'd be praying it wasn't leaking. Please don't be leaking, you know. And then when the lady came home at night, I'd be pooping and pooping. And the poor soul didn't know what to do for me. And she sat me down by the fire one night. And she said to me, you know, Liz, you're a lovely person. But drinking is your problem. She says, I put my husband out of here for his drinking. And she lectured to me, and here comes the guilt and the remorse again, because I'm up in some godforsaken country. I don't know where I'm at. I'm fighting the booze. I'm away from my three children. So I called Mr. Bailey one night, and he banged the phone up on me. And then I called my neighbor, and she said, please come home. Your little girl is not eating, and she's calling for you. And so one cold winter night, I went back home. In March it was. And for me to get in my house, I always had to come in fighting. If I came in nice, you'd see Mr. Bailey throwing me out the front door in brown bags and shopping bags. And the people now have taken me down into their unfinished basements. And I'm sleeping down in these unfinished basements, and they're screaming at me, don't drink down there and don't smoke down there. And I'd go back in the day, take care of the children, and back to the basements until he'd let me back in. Now, I continued to drink. I switched from brand to brand. Of course, now one morning, I woke up with my head coming off my body. Ooh, I took Anacin's. I took BC's. I took Alka-Seltzer. I put a raw egg in the beer. I did everything to try to straighten my head out. And I couldn't get my head together. And so what did I do? I reached over and grabbed the Bible off my night table. I figured maybe I'll find the answer in the Bible how to straighten this rotten life of mine up. And as I did that, Mr. Bailey passed my room. And he seen me with the Bible. And he screamed, put that Bible down, you hypocrite. Put it down. 20 minutes to an hour, you'll be so drunk, you'll be slapping one of the kids down. He was right. Nobody but nobody got in the way of me getting a drink. And nobody, but nobody, gets in the way of me staying sober. It's the same difference. I don't allow anyone to interfere with my sobriety. And so again, no way. And here again, he says, or you'll be hopping a cab. And the cab drivers used to say, please, Miss Bailey, take somebody else's cab. You messed up my cab, so it took me 3 days to clean up my cab. Who the hell do you think he is? I paid 50 cents to get in that cab. Don't tell me who to take. Or I would be swinging a corner. This is the first time I thought of suicide. I had never thought of suicide before. I literally ran and jumped up into the second floor window. And I'm standing in this window getting ready to throw my body down into the yard. And as I'm standing in the window, there's a little lady named Nana Backer, and she spots me, and she starts to screaming, "Mr. Bailey! Mr. Bailey! You better get her! She's gonna jump!" And he comes out this window. I'm standing here, and his hands come out. He says, "Nana, will you let that bitch jump?" He says, "I'll be rid of all my problems, all my troubles. Please let that bitch jump." Well, I wanted to know who the hell did he think he was. I guarantee every one of you I got down out of that window. I got back into bed, and I pulled the sheet over me and slept that one off, you know. I continued to drink. Now I'm putting holes in the walls, I'm burning up furniture, and went out and had a lousy $2 beer drunk. You know what a lousy suds drunk is? And I came in and he says to me, "Look at this, no dinner." I said, "Man, I've asked you time and time again, don't say too much to me when I'm coming off a drunk or when I'm drinking. Try to say as less as possible. And you bad enough look giving them dirty looks. You know, the looks are not alone, talks." And he kept his mouth going, and I said to him, "Do me a favor, see me up to the bedroom." I remember he walked me 3 steps. When I came to, I was stretched out on a bench. I had a black suit on that day and a gold coat. My front 2 teeth was doing like this. There was blood all over the front of me. There was a policeman sitting at the foot of me. I don't know where I'm at. Totally blacked out as I got to that 3rd step going up to my bedroom. It took me 3 days to find out that I had tried to kill Mr. Bailey in the blackout, and that's why my front teeth was like that, because they had to knock me out. And then it took another 3 days to see that I had totally tore up my place. And there again, when he came to take me home, I said, "Don't lay down. Don't you dare lay down, because I'm going to get you if you lay down." You know, he sat up in chairs for 3 nights. You don't blame that man, because I'm crazy now. I'm totally gone. I had no trouble with the 2nd step when I got here. I was out of it, totally. I had been beaten to a pulp a few times where I couldn't come out of my house. Mr. Bailey came to me one day. He said to me, "You're the loveliest wife when you're sober. Drunk, you're a Jekyll and a Hyde. Why don't you try this AA? When you desire a drink, run over to the phone, pick up the phone, and call someone to talk you out of the drink." I'm not going into the flowery words of what I said to Mr. Bailey. I really haven't gotten around to taking women standing up here using 4-letter words and all the profanity. I don't think it's necessary in carrying a message for me. I really don't. But that was one of my character defects that I walked in here with. I told you every word came out of my mouth was a curse word. And AA will clean you up, baby. If you don't get cleaned up here, you'll be right back out there. Because this whole program is about change, making yourself a better person. Well, you know what I told him to do with AA, don't you, Debbie? Okay, all right, as long as you know what I told him to do with AA. He walked away from me. And he said, Dr. Graninger had said to him, "I want you to go home and tell Mrs. Bailey she's going to drink herself to death." See, there was no detox units. There was no halfway homes, nothing like that. He says, "Or she's going to drink herself into a mental institution, or she will drink herself into Alcoholics Anonymous. Once you tell her that, keep your big mouth shut and take care of Mr. Bailey." Praise the Lord and hallelujah and amen. The man never mentioned AA again to me. I thank God till this day that he didn't do that. And I continued to drink. And I continued to watch me go down. Girls, don't ever fry a frozen chicken drunk. I hit the grease over and burned up both of my legs, 3rd degree burns. And as long as I drank, these legs stayed like raw meat. When I got sober, you want to believe me? These legs healed that you would never believe that I was burnt. Never. In the healing. These rooms are healing rooms. Believe Liz when she tells you. And so again, broken fingers, hands through window plate glasses. You can see where I've been all sliced up. fell down the basement steps, busted all my ribs. Mr. Bailey stepped over me and went to work. I swore he whipped me till I came to AA. The man never touched me, just stepped over me and went to work. And I had busted ribs. Every time you looked at me, the good sisters was putting a new patch on me at the Mary Immaculate Hospital. Alcoholic pneumonia, all kinds of stuff happened to me. Waking up where I didn't know where I was half the time. And here I've done it again. Each time I wanted it to be different. I wanted it to be different. I wanted to control it. But I got worse, never better. And this is my last drink I'm going to tell you about. I'm now drinking with hard two-fist drinkers in the VFW hall. I just told you I couldn't stand anybody who sipped on a drink all day or for hours. You got on my last nerve. And I just didn't deal with you. I drank with hard two-fist drinkers. And here again, I got up this morning in July, and there's a lady named Miss Lindbaum is coming to sell some insurance for the house. Remember, house, not home. And I made salads. I straightened up. I left my dusting even till last. And the telephone rang, and it was one of the men from the post. I heard his voice, and I banged the phone down. He called me the second time. I said, man, don't bug me. Leave me alone. I haven't seen this lady since I'm 8 years old, and I really want to see her. I have gotten to the place in my alcoholism that once I picked up a drink, I was not in the position to tell you or anyone what was going to happen to me behind it. I couldn't tell you anymore because, as I said before, I woke up in the strangest places, and I didn't know, and the guilt and remorse was killing me. Because I didn't want to live that life. I had three beautiful children, a husband that worked every day for me, and I had a beautiful house and all. But what happened? He called me back the third time. He said, Liz, do me a favor. Hop a cab. I'll introduce you to the people. I'll put you back in the cab, and I'll send you home to your company. I figured, let me do that. He's going to drive me up a wall today. He's not going to let me stay here. So I got in the cab, and I went over to the post, and you all can imagine what happened after. You know, the booze started lining up, the jukebox is going, and I'm singing, you always hurt the one you love. The one you don't want to hurt at all. Give me another drink. Smile if you're happy. Give me another drink. I could sing them old Weeping Harry songs. Well, as I said, I'm 73, and I haven't seen Miss Lindbaum till yet. I forgot what the lady even looks like. I was always hoping for years I'd see her in these rooms, you know. But again, when I woke up, I was in one of my son's twin beds. At the foot of this bed stood my mom, and over here stood Mr. Bailey. And my mom's got her head going like this, and she's saying, whew, somebody done something to her. Somebody done something to her. And I look over Mr. Bailey, and he got his head going. And he's saying, no, Mom, no, Mom. Nobody's done anything to her. She happens to be a very sick girl. He didn't call me bitch. You know my name was bitch. See? He said I was a sick girl. Well, something went all over my body that I got up out of that bed, and I went to the basement of that house, and I stayed in the basement for 2 days praying to die. I wanted out. My oldest son was 12 years old at the time. He was sitting there reading a book. And I said, Richard, I can't live this way. This is not the way I want to live. Look at this. You can't depend on me for anything. And I started to scream, and oh, God, oh, God, please help me. And don't you kid yourself that God don't answer. Because something said to me, as clear as I'm speaking to you, try this AA that your father has told me about. I took the telephone book down. I called up AA. They didn't have anyone to send me. I got myself together, and I went into Manhattan. Intergroup was at 28th Street and Lexington Avenue. One flight up over a bar. I got in the vestibule and I said, to hell with AA. Then I said, no, you've taken the bus and the subway. You've run a couple of blocks. Try to get up those stairs again. As I got into the middle of the landing and I'm turning to go down into the bar, a lady looks down the stairs at me and she says, are you having trouble? I said, yes, ma'am. And I was having trouble getting up those stairs. And I ran up to her and she escorted me into the front part of the office and she sat me down and she started to tell me about herself. Oh my God, who talks about themselves like this? My mother says put it in a closet, under a rug, open a drawer, shove it in the drawer. But don't you dare go out and tell anybody about yourself like that. You keep your fights and your black eyes and all that in your house. Don't you dare. And so she turns to me and she says, you know, Liz, it's the first drink. I says, oh, come on, sweetie. I've been drinking for 19 years. She said, Liz, when you pick up one drink of any type of alcohol, it is only a matter of time that a compulsion sets up into you that you have to go all the way. Boy, did she smack me between the eyes. I've seen myself take a drink on a Monday. Good. Two lousy drinks on Tuesday. You're looking for me. Wednesday, I'd go to Gert's department store and buy me a fifth. Drank the whole fifth and nothing happened. Ooh, I done found the brand I can drink. You know I ran back to Gert's Thursday and got me another bottle. Friday, I'm knitting without needles. Have any of you all knit without needles? But Friday, I am knitting, and I'm walking up and down knitting. And I've got to go get that drink to get me back in focus. And she said we do it 1 5 minutes, 1 10 minutes, 1 hour, 1 day at a time. We do it with a sponsor. Now, when I came into AA, there was 150,000 members. Today, there's over 2.5 million or more today. So don't tell me you can't find a sponsor. I don't want to hear that. You can find a sponsor. And there's got to be somebody good for you in one of these rooms, you know. And so again, she told me to get a sponsor. And she told me to make meetings, 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 meetings. And she gave me the choice of 2 meetings. Oh, I can't go to that meeting. My children go to that parish. St. Benedict, she gave me in presentation. I don't know about you girls, but my hair used to stay drunk. You know, I'd get my hair fixed nice and I'd get drunken and you wouldn't even think I sat in that woman's chair, you know. And I finally got my hair done. Mr. Bailey would give me money for clothes. I never looked too tough, but I did go buy a little 2-piece blue suit. And I go off to my first AA meeting. Only mimicking the girls, I'm not making fun of them, but as I walked towards the coffee counter, the girls looked up at me and said, you don't look like an alcoholic. I said, now what the hell did I get myself into? Let me get the hell out of here. And I started running out the room. And we used to keep 2 people at the door when I came to AA. Believe me, yes we did, to greet you into here. And one of the men took me and slapped me on the shoulder as I'm going out the room. And he says to me, what's the matter with you? Where you going? I said, those girls said I don't look like an alcoholic. I don't know what an alcoholic looks like. But I'm about to lose my mind, my home, my children, and everything through drinking. He said, have a seat, sweetie. You in the right place. They put 2 tables like this together that night. And they all sat around and they shared their strength, their hope, and their experience with me. It is but for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. Alcoholics Anonymous. Al-Anon. Al-Ateen. Al-Atat. O-A. G-A. P-A. N-A. E-A. F-A. The only A I haven't spoken at is Sex Anonymous. I refuse to go to Seattle, Washington to put my sex life on tape to come across the United States. Because I still have a family, okay? Now, if I live, and you pray that I live to July the 11th, 1994, I will be celebrating 42 years away from my last drink. Thank you.
And just think, I didn't do it alone. We can do together what I could never do alone. I need you, and it's so true. People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. And I need you. I need you more today, 42 years later, than I did back then. And I thank God they told me to get sober for Liz. Not for my mother, because if I had to be sober for my mother, I'd have been drunk, drunk, drunk. My mother did not like me telling you I was an alcoholic. It took my mother 29 and a half years of my sobriety to tell me to stay with them A's, whatever they are. And I don't plan to leave these A's, okay? Mr. Bailey couldn't stand me sober. Mr. Bailey took the first 10 years and he worked overtime to get me back into the streets of New York. I did not come into AA through a bedroom. I came through the streets into AA. And you know, thank God you didn't tell me to get sober for Mr. Bailey. I have stood on these platforms for many years telling you how I love Mr. Bailey. I really did. And I really wanted to make amends to him. I was privileged to make amends to him greatly before he died. I went back and took care of him in his last days. I had the honor and privilege of speaking for Bill Wilson 32 years ago at the Hotel Commodore that night. I had 10 years of sobriety, and I spoke to 2,700 people that night. Mr. Bailey shook my hand and said I did a good job, but when we arrived back at the house, he banged every pot on the stove, and he screamed, "I've got to get rid of you. I can't stand you and this sobriety another minute." I used the third and the 11th step at 3 o'clock in the morning because no man in here makes decisions for me but God. And God spoke to me as well as I'm speaking to you, because he will speak to your conscious mind. He will speak to that inner spirit that's in you. And he said, "You're going to have to leave, Liz. Because if you pick up one drink, you don't have Liz. If you pick up one drink, you don't have Mr. Bailey," and I didn't have him anyway. And I just told you, when I'm drinking, I'm not in that house. I'm out in the street or in the basements or wherever. And so I left Mr. Bailey 32 years, sitting in a $60,000 house in Hollis. And I moved to a room and kitchenette, and then to an apartment. Now that Mr. Bailey has passed, he left his part of the house to me, and I'm back in the house, but it's a home today. And just think so, it's paid for. Isn't that nice? Yeah, that's so nice about it. Yeah. And so I'm not planning to move out of the house, the home. Today it's a home. It's a lot of love in there today, thank God. And of course, I've never married or remarried. You guys have kept me on the go so much, you don't give me time to get a love affair. And it's okay, because I don't know if I could handle one. I'd need counseling. I really would. But I love the life that I live. My son hated my guts. My oldest son, that 12-year-old son that I told I was going to take my life because I was going to jump in front of a Long Island Railroad train. And you know, for 41 years, my son has spoke to me 5 times in 41 years. 3 of them very nasty. So I don't dial for pain, okay? I leave him alone. Let God work it out. I'm powerless over that. But I found a God in AA. It took me 5 years to find a God in AA. And until that time, I suffered with migraine headaches, deep, deep depressions, isolation. I cried a lot. And I thank God after 5 years here, something dawned on me one day. If this is a gift given to you, Liz, you want to keep this gift, you better let this higher power that you hear in these rooms come into your life. And I slowly began to put one hand in God's, and I had the other in AA. I made 7 meetings a week and 3 times on Sunday. I picked myself a tough sponsor, Flo Melody. Some of you would remember Flo, John, and all of you. She was my sponsor for 28 years till she went home with the Lord. And when I'd whine and complain to Flo, she'd say, "Listen, Liz Bailey, AA don't need you, but you need AA." I'd cry. And I'd go back and whine some more to Flo, and she'd say, "Sit on the pot or get up off it." And she didn't say it that nice either, you know. And I am so grateful that Flo didn't pamper me. I am so, because she would have pampered me out the door. She belted me every time I came to her whining and complaining. Of course, now I must say something nice. Last February the 14th, I got a phone call. My son lives in California. "Hello, Mom." I said, "Who is this?" Because I got a lot of young dudes call me mom in AA. I got a lot of sons. I never worried about having a son because, boy, everyone calls me their mother back in New York. I've even gotten to be grandma to some of them. But here again, he says, don't you know your son? And I broke down and I cried. He says, would you hang up and I'll call you in a half hour. Let me give you a chance to get yourself together. This is the first time in 41 years that my son has called me and wished me a happy Mother's Day. Don't give up before the miracle. Don't give up before the miracle. And he's called me this year again, wishing me a happy Mother's Day. So it's twice now. And occasionally he'll call me. And we have nice little conversations. I don't push too much now. I'll tell you that right now. And it's so nice. I had a son named Dennis. Dennis was an alcoholic and an addict. And I used to say to Dennis, Dennis, the right road may be hard, but you'll be the winner. The easy road, the price is heavy. June 25th of this year, it will be 24 years ago that Dennis was shot and killed in between two houses in Flatbush. I don't cry for Dennis. I don't believe, this is for me now, and this is my own opinion. I don't believe in crying for the dead. My Bible says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. And I always believe that Dennis will be there to open the gate for me when I go. And Dennis left a beautiful wife and two children, which are doing fine. Again, I want to say, I have a daughter named Judy. Judy was 5 years old when I stopped drinking. And I hope today that in your closing that you'll help me pray for my daughter, Judy. Beautiful girl, just getting ready to graduate from Malloy College on the 21st of this month. She's had a mental breakdown again, and I can't find her. She's in Georgia somewhere, flopping from hotel to hotel. And the minute we find out where she is, she runs again. I am now taking care of her two children. And I didn't know why God kept bringing me back here. I've had 9 operations in 41 years. Last year I had my 9th operation, cut open and closed back. And it frightened me because I've never met anybody closed up and closed back operated that can tell you about it. And I kept saying to you along the way here, why did he keep bringing me back? Why does he keep bringing me back? Today I know why he keeps bringing me back, to raise these two children for my daughter. And they're doing fine. I called Robert this morning. Again, I have a beautiful AA baby. And she's gorgeous. I named her after AA Adrian Anita. Because without AA, that chick would have never been around. You know that, don't you? Okay. 18 years ago, she turned to be a Muslim. She lives in Boston. She's had 12 babies. 6 have lived. And there's 6 gorgeous grandchildren. I have 12 in all that I see by appointment only. Believe me, I don't deal in the grandchildren. When I see them, it's quality good time. Again, I must say this to you. Aisha came down. Her name is Aisha in the Muslim religion. And she comes down to New York at one time, twice a year, to get her meats from Roosevelt, Long Island there. And we go into an A&P, and I got a black hat on, the black coat, and she's got the shroud on, the face covered, and the cashier says, oh, it's a stick-up, it's a stick-up. Well, I got hysterical, and I went down to the floor of the A&P laughing. And she turns to me on the subway, and she says, Mother, oh, she speaks so proper since she lives in Boston, you know. And she says, Mother, are you accepting me as a Muslim? I said, you join Hoodism, Buddhism, I don't care whose ism, as long as it helps you be a better person. I am not raising any more children. My children are 54, 47, and 38. My grandchildren go from 30 down to 2, and I have 2 great-grandchildren, 5 and 14 months old. Never thought I'd see great-grandchildren. But God has a purpose, and he writes the script. And what a script he writes. If we just be obedient to it. I admit and I accept and I surrender to the fact that I am an alcoholic. And I have no choice to drink. And I used to run around AA for many years, shaking my little self. This gentleman that's from Kane, Pennsylvania, he remembered that me down there, don't you? Jim used to be with me. And Jim brought me up in front of the carpet one night in front of 200 people. He said, Liz Bailey, I am damn sick of you coming here twice a year. You will take criticism in AA now, I'm telling you right now. He says, telling us that you have a choice to drink. And he opens up the little book as Bill sees it. And Bill Wilson himself says, if you admit and you accept and you surrender to the fact that you are an alcoholic, you have no choice to drink. Not if you want to live this life. Yay! Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And I'll tell you, from that day to this, I don't run around here shaking myself telling you I've got a choice to drink. Because I don't if I want to live this fantastic life. And I came to believe in a power greater than myself. It took me the 5 years that I told you. And I thank God I learned how to put one hand in God's and the other one in AA. And I used to say I don't have a hand to pick up a drink. Some broad in the Bronx says she would have sucked it through a straw. So what can I tell you? What can I gonna get it regardless? See? And thank God I started to grow spiritually in AA. Now when I came to AA, I told you there was no detox units. And it's so true what Clint said last night. It's in the giving of oneself that you get this blessing. And it's giving of oneself that you keep this blessing. Because I used to bring the drunks home and lay them on my living room couch and take care of the drunks until the drunk could help himself. And I'd drag them to 7 meetings a week and 3 times on Sunday. I've never had a car in my whole sobriety. And every night a different white dude picks me up, you know? And we got that instant love. And my neighbors say, oh my God, from a drunk to this, what is she putting down? I upset my neighbors so bad because they see me hitting all kinds of cars. And I'm just going every night. And I say, oh my God, they're wondering what I'm putting down. Thank God today I know what I'm putting down. There was a time I couldn't tell you what I was putting down. What a difference, isn't it? I like to sing that old, Washington song. She says, what a difference a day makes. 24 little hours brought the sun and the flowers where there used to be rain. My yesterday was blue day, but today I'm part of you, dear. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. Yes, what a difference a day makes. And so again, I made that decision to take my inventory. It's so important to take that fourth and fifth step and clear the wreckage of the past away and stop dwelling on that stuff and keeping myself sick. Life is full of yesterdays and no tomorrows. My life is right today. And it's, like I said to Pat this morning, it's something that you continue to practice. You continue to practice it. And when you can get to live in just today, oh, what a freedom from bondage. Boy, there's so many things that we're free from if you get sober. And free to do also. Free from and free to. Think about it. Write your own list down. See? Okay, again. Today I can admit to God, to myself and another human being, the exact natures of my wrongs. And I must do that if I want to stay free. If I want to stay free. And I'm free, free at last. Woo! Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. And you know what? The kid said to me, Martha Luther King went to the top of the mountain, Liz, but I'd be damned if you ain't been through the mountain. So I've been through the mountain. I've been through it, all right? I went up and had 3 operations in 6 weeks. And the doctor looked at me and he says, you've got cancer. He says, I'm going to give you just about 6 months to live. I said, please don't talk to me that way. Don't talk to me that way. I'm in a fellowship that teaches me to live one day at a time. I am now 27 years an arrested cancer patient, and my motor is running fine. Oh, yeah. I don't really care what your situation is. Bring it into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Do you know how much power is in this room today? Woo! Would blow you off the earth. So much power. And you know another nice thing, and I hope AA never gets cold. Please don't. give each other hugs and loves and speak to each other nice. Please, because that's what saved me. You loved me until I could love myself. I did not know how to love myself in the streets of New York. I did not. I had to learn how to even dress when I came to AA. I came in here with slits and my furs thrown over my shoulders, and Father Kelly sent me the message, ask that broad what she doing in AA. I didn't even know I had to learn how to dress in here. I had to learn a lot of things about Liz, and I didn't like a lot of things about Liz. But the 12 steps helped me find myself. And the 12 traditions go along with the 12 steps. It's not just one-sided here. And every one of you know what halfway measures are. Avail us nothing. We thoroughly follow the footsteps here. And that's what I've tried to do these 42 years, follow the footsteps, one day at a time, loving and caring and sharing with each other. Now, I said I'm 73. I'm still hopping trains and planes and buses and subways. What's your problem? What's your problem? I let nothing stop me. And I still, AA taught me never to say no to anyone who asked anything of me. And I don't, because it was freely given to me, and I must freely give it back to you in order to keep it. It cannot be done sitting in my kitchen. Got to get up. I talk to 20 people a day on my telephone. And I've never became a counselor, and I don't knock counseling. I love counseling because we need one drunk to another drunk. But again, when I went to take resumes, I was overqualified. So God has me counseling my own way. See, and it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I've made amends to myself. I learned how to love myself. I can't love you if I don't love myself. It always has to start with me. I can't give you something that I don't have. My mother, I hated her guts when I came to AA. But I learned to love my mother because I couldn't put into her what was not there. And my mother didn't have it to give to me. And I thank God. My mom died 3 days short of 95, 7 years ago. She lived a good life. I've lost all my family. There's hardly any of my family left. I'm ever grateful to God that I've stayed sober through all the tragedies. A sister went up and jumped 30 floors in Manhattan. Thank God I was sober and I stayed sober. A nephew shot and killed, 26 years old, on Amsterdam Avenue in New York. I had a cousin, a handsome guy, who was so nice. He used in and out of AA. He was too smart for us. He didn't need us. Somebody beat him to death a year ago between two buildings in Connecticut. I'm so grateful you told me to stay sober for me and not for anybody else. I'm so grateful for the teachings that I had in AA, the big book, the steps. And again, I owe one guy I haven't made amends to as a bartender. I sent his children to college, sitting on the bar stool. I bought him a new Cadillac. Every year, sitting on the bar stool, I bought him a house in Vermont. It would injure me to give him the $2. And you know, the place closed down when I stopped drinking. It hasn't been there in 42 years. I was really keeping that guy going, Sutton's Bar and Grill on 177th Street and Jamaica Avenue. That's where I stayed all the time, if I wasn't in the house. And so here again. Today I can admit to you, promptly, if I'm wrong. I have to do that, otherwise it eats at me. And that's another thing about AA, will give you a conscience. You will have a conscience whether you're doing something right or wrong. And your conscience will eat at you. So it's better to do it right from the get-go. It's just like the lying and the cheating and the ducking and the dodging I used to do. I don't have to do that no more. It's wonderful. And when you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Mm-hmm. See, you tell the truth. The truth might hurt you, but it'll free you also. And so again, it took me 20 years. Please don't let it take you 20 years to find the key to my life. I had my throat cut from ear to ear. I had a heart attack. They took two glands out of my throat and I couldn't speak. Am I speaking tonight? Today, this morning? He brought me back more powerful. And I found the answer. Take my scars and turn them into stars. and to seek God first and His kingdom and His righteousness. And this has nothing to do with religion. This is all spiritual, what you're sitting in right now. Loving and caring and sharing with one another. And he said, seek me first. He was sick of me shoving him in between people, places, and things. He said, seek me first and my kingdom and my righteousness for all things to be added unto you. I get up now and say, good morning, God, instead of, oh, God, it's another morning. I used to hate to see another day come. Today, I've been doing it now for 21 years, going on 22. Good morning, God. I was on my knees at 5:30 this morning. On my knees, thanking Him, loving Him, and praising Him. And asking Him, that's the only thing I've asked for years, that He uses me for His children. And Liz Bailey does not make 10 cents in any of her traveling. But what I've got, you can't pay for it. There's no money on it. No money. No money. Got it through the 12 steps and 12 traditions and the love and caring of you. And I love your love. I've had a reunion here today. I've cried. I've had to watch myself from getting emotional because I am a highly emotional person. I suffered with emotions for many years. And I'm a highly sensitive person. You were always talking about me. You were always watching me. But today I'm much better in that department, thank God. See? And I can keep on keeping on. I take time for God every day. I take time for everything else. I don't know why I can't take time for Him. And something nice is happening back in New York now that I love. We say, God is good, and the whole audience shouts all the time. Yes, and I love that. Because if you really look at it, He's good all the time. One of the girls called me the other day with a problem. And you know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to call Liz Bailey. I can't talk to her. They say, you call Liz, she'll talk to you. And believe me, when this girl talked to me the other day, I went off babbling about my problem. Blah, 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 blah. And so I said, now, what was your problem? She said, I ain't got none after listening to you. She said, oh, nothing wrong with me, honey. I'm going out of my house counting my blessings. She said, nothing's wrong with me. I thought I'd crack up. And I had her cracking up. There was a man come out from work. He worked for John Hancock. And he had a pocket full of money. And the guy said to him, stick him up. He said, man, don't you see I got a disease? And the guy ran from him. And he said, Liz, he didn't even wait for me to tell him I'm an alcoholic. Love that, because I used to say to Mr. Bailey, what am I going to tell my friends when they ask me to have a drink? They said, tell them you got a disease. I said, like hell I'm running around telling people I got a disease. I looked it up in the dictionary and it says, dis at ease with oneself. I readily tell you I am an alcoholic. I sought through prayer and meditation to have a conscious contact every day with my higher power. It's so nice to grow spiritually in here, loving and caring and sharing. I keep saying this because I want it to stay in AA. I do not want AA to get cold. And I know for me back in New York, I speak to some people, hello. They look at me like I'm from outer space. And I said, didn't I just say hello to you? Yeah, I'll do that, yeah. And you know, and they said, yeah. I said, well, why couldn't you just say hello back? But then I got to realize people bring their problems outside and they don't know how to deal with the public and their problems. But I do say hello to people and I'm going to keep saying hello to you whether you speak back to me or not. I love my teachings that were given to me 42 years ago here. And we do have greeters at the door. I hope it comes back again. My main prayer too is to pray that the old AA come back. I want to see that back so much before I leave this world. Because that old AA was some good stuff. Look at my friend John here, just celebrated 30 years. Isn't that marvelous? Good stuff, baby. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yes, and yes. Just wonderful. And I'm sure there's some more 30 years sitting here too. Yes, it is. And God love you all. My greatest spiritual awakening is that I see things differently today, and my values are different today. What I thought I used to have, I don't have to have anymore. Thank God for that. I really see life so much differently. Each day, like Marilyn got up this morning, she said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it instead of whining and complaining." See what that rejoicing will do for you. I have one primary purpose also, and that's to stay sober. And every time I'm allowed to share from this platform, and I want to thank the two gentlemen that picked us up at the airport yesterday. I don't want to ever forget to thank people who are good to me. I thank you so much. We had a good time. They didn't know which was Liz and which was Marilyn. And we had a far hard time finding my other friend here. But we all found each other. One drunk will find another one, believe me when I tell you. And we seem to know each other. Very much so. But my primary purpose is to stay sober and to hope to reach another alcoholic or anybody really with these 12 steps because they are a way of life for anyone. My Al-Anon people, I love you. I've been loving you for a long time. You helped me to learn how to MYOB, mind my own business. You've helped me to learn that I don't cause a thing, I can't cure a thing, and I can't control it. When you learn the three C's, baby, you got some stuff going for you. Can't cure it, you didn't cause it, and you can't control it. And anything that I'm powerless over, I give it up to my higher power. And he wants you to do that. Cast your burdens upon him and leave them there. He says, what joys you forfeit when you don't do that. Now, if I can reach one person today, then I want to say something nice to you. I, Liz Bailey, I have not lived in vain. Thank you so much.